How much do you want to be like Charlotte Pashley Foy from Llanelli? Not only has she got an absolutely banging double barrel surname, what a surname that is, not only is she from Llanelli, which is one of the lushest places on earth, but she is also this week's winner of our fabulous Duolit prize. Congratulations, Charlotte. You absolute hero. You have won yourself a Duolit classic 4-slot toaster. You've won yourself a sandwich cage, a classic kettle, a 50-pack taster pack of compostable coffee bags, and one times travel mug. You are our Duolit queen this week, Charlotte. And with a surname like that, you might literally also be the queen. Thank you very much for entering the comp. I know you also want to be like Charlotte, but listen, you can't unless you enter the competition. There's not long left now, only a couple of weeks. If this is something you'd be planning on doing because you want to fill your life with Duolit goodness, make sure you get it done very, very soon indeed. The web address, and I'll tell you this at the end, duolit.com/toasterpod. 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 You could be like Charlotte Pashley Foy off of Oh, I so nearly nailed that in one take. You could be like Charlotte Pashley Foy off of Llanelli. I'm going to punish myself by not editing that out. Right, on with the show. Well, hello and welcome back once more to Toaster Towers. My guest this week, another Tom. This week it's the turn of Deacon. We had Davis at the beginning of the series. Don't forget, you can catch that in perfect visual glory over on our YouTube channel. But this week, it's Deacon O'Clock. Tom Deacon, brilliant stand-up comedian. He's also worked in the radio. He has also got a very successful career working as a sports presenter for eSports. We'll talk about that in a minute. Today's episode, we are going to talk about all sorts of stuff. A little bit of hernia chat. If you are easily triggered by a pretty gross story about a nasty injury in the hernia department, about 5 minutes after the ads, you might want to just, you know, look away. How do you look away but aurally? Turn your ears away, but don't disappear. We will talk about going to France. We will talk about a brand new hot take on Samuel Beckett. And we also discuss porches. This is a quiz for you. See if you can get this over the course of the episode. How much do you reckon Tom was quoted to have a porch slapped on the front of his house? I will have an attempt to work that out, and by the end of the episode, get it very, very wrong. Enjoy the episode. Stick around, and I'll be revealing who next week's guest is at the end of this episode. It's an amazing guest. Super excited about next week as well. But that's in the future. For now, Tom Deacon.
I don't know if it's chucking it down where you are. That's a dying plant. There's my garden.
That's nice. So look, having a little look around Tom Deacon's back garden. That's nice. That's not any kind of rude innuendo either. Where are you, Tom Deacon? Where are you in the country? Oh, lovely place. Nice gaff.
Yeah. The thing is, though, the front door comes straight in the house. Now, I know that sounds obvious, but you know, there's like normally a lean-to or a porch or just something.
Yeah,
not us. You're straight in here. You're quite drafty.
You're porch hungry, aren't you? That is.
Oh, we are. And when you get a quote for one, you suddenly go, I'm not so porch hungry anymore because I have to actually feed myself. It's mental. Just a little thing over the front door.
Oh, don't say. That can be part of the show today. We have started recording. I'm gonna use this, mate. I think the content's now good enough. What I do is I talk to my guests, and as I feel, you know, as we start to swim away from the shore of real life and we begin to enter the depths of podcasting, I'm like, yeah, I think this is good enough content now. Let's make that theme, Tom Deacon, as we go through the show. I will try and work out how much it costs to get a porch stuck on the front of the house. Let's see if I can get it right before the end of the show.
Okay. All right. You're going to be angry and you're going to be baffled.
Really?
By how much it costs. Yeah. Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. Tom Fox talking to these funny people. He's asking what they're buying and they're telling stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate, Water Toaster. Oh, it's my mate, Water Toaster. Yeah, yeah. My mate, Water Toaster. Oh, toaster for my love.
Is it because of planning? And we will start looking at your Amazon purchase history soon. And sadly, it's not your Amazon purchase. No, it's not good enough.
Never having a house before, now having a house.
Yeah.
It's just always asking people, if you were to do this job, how much would it cost? And they seem to pluck a number out of the air.
Yeah.
And then you have to get about five. And then by that time, you're like, oh, sod it. I'll just go back to the first person again.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Yeah.
They were nice. And they came round and looked at the house.
You know, imagine if, and maybe I'm trying to crank the gears to get us towards your Amazon purchase history, which is sitting in front of me. But imagine if when you went on Amazon and you saw, you know, a nice pair of shoes, nice pair of kicks, and to buy those kicks, Jeff Bezos popped up and had a good look at you and worked out how much he'd charge you for those shoes. Because that's basically what happens. Whenever you get any kind of work done involving building or mechanics or any of that stuff where there's a quote, soon as a quote's involved, as with comedy, the quote's about you, right? They look at you.
Yeah. And you know what? A couple of times I've had a better deal when I've said, they said, so what do you do? Are you going to be in? You're going to be working?
Yes.
And that's not a man's voice. That was the woman's. And then they'll say, because I'm not. Yeah, and then they'll say, are you a stand-up? Okay, yeah. And I go, never heard of you. And the quote's a lot cheaper. So
there you go. When you become, you know, McIntyre levels of fame, what we're saying is it must be a nightmare. It's so difficult to get the pool done these days because they know who I am. All right, so this is My Mate Bought a Toaster. This is the fabulous comic and broadcaster Tom Deacon, who is on the line right now. Tom Deacon, we are going to dive back to 2008. That is your first purchase on Amazon. This was sent to your house at Roman Road in London Town, the old E2 days, mate.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know what that takes me back to 2008, which you've just stated.
I reckon.
But that was second place living in London, uh-huh. and it's right near the backyard. And that was the best gig to do. I could go and do a gig. Like I often tell the audience, I could put a pie in the oven, one of those like 40-minute jobs.
Oh, nice.
Walk across, do the gig, say goodbye, back in, dressing gown on, pie eaten in front of the TV. That was me thinking, you have made it. You just need to keep doing this.
That's brilliant. Everything about being a stand-up is encapsulated in that story, because you have a whole day where you can sit around thinking about the pie. And we nip out to do a gig for as little time as possible. And throughout the gig, all we're thinking is, when can I go? We are a introverted bunch, really. And we all just want to get home and hide under a dressing gown, don't we? And look at a pie. Yeah. That's, you know.
And when I see comics who love, and this isn't a judgment, but they love the hanging around, the adulation after the gig, I'm like, I couldn't be further away from that. Did I do a good job? I can see some people go,
that was a really good job, mate. Well done. Enjoy the rest of your night. I thought you were funny. My missus didn't, but I thought you were funny.
All of that is
the
great.
I in the beginning. I thought you were funny. Okay. All right.
Yeah. You're an acquired taste, or I like that you're different. All of this, I'm happy with that. That's enough ticks in my head to then leap. Yeah, thank you. That's absolutely fine. So yeah, but that was Roman Road. Loved it.
Well, listen, what you've just said belies what you've bought, because in fact, despite the fact that you are, you don't want to leave your house for longer than it takes to cook a pie, which is a great thing to put on your gravestone right there. Never left the house for longer than it took to cook a pie.
Well, do you know what, Tom? It was bloody annoying when I had to do an encore. I was like, guys, I'll give it to you because I'm professional, but at the end of the day, there is a pie that's burning here.
I tell you what, Tom Deacon right now, he's so good, he's burning pies. Forget taking the roof off, he's burning pies. But look, your first purchases actually suggest a man who's a bit of a traveller, because you have bought a French phrase book and Quick Start Italian. So we got French and Italian, November 2008. What's going on?
That sounds like a man who's very confident in the skills that he lacks, but feels like he'll be able to change that. Mm. I think I went off to Paris and I've always loved Italy. So I think I wanted to go and watch more football in Italy. But I've probably still got those books. They're on the to-do list.
Yeah, of course.
They're on the kind of, hey, listen, I've got that. If I need a phrase book in French, I will use it.
It's weird.
I was trying to be more cultural, you know?
Well, of course.
Do you know what? I'm going to give away a little bit more about myself.
That's the idea of the podcast.
Well, and you're getting it without nudging me.
Let's do this.
I was you've planted the seed, and now I feel like I've come up with the idea of a podcast. Let me tell you a little bit more about myself, Tom.
What do you need, Tom? What do you need on this podcast, mate? It's a bit more about me via my Amazon purchase history.
I studied the old performing arts at University Exeter, and I just remembered Samuel Beckett. We did a whole course on Samuel Beckett, and he loved a little bit the languages, did he not?
He did.
And all I sort of remember him doing was taking a text, then translating it to another language, and then from that language, translating it again. Yeah. And I remember standing there just thinking, what a boring twat. Like, like, get someone else to do it, A, but the context or the understanding would change depending on the language.
Yeah.
And I was like, I haven't got time for that. And yet in 2008, I thought to myself, do you know what? You've been in Edinburgh, you made friends with some Italians. I think it's time you got an Italian phrase, but you learn quick Italian. And so I just always planned to travel away, to get away. Whereas Beckett was like, I want to put another play on. Oh, no one cares, mate. No one cares.
Also, it would suggest the reason that Beckett's whole style, wasn't it, was very brief and very few words. And because he was so into putting his plays on in French, which he did, he would translate them into French himself. One has to think maybe that's why he wrote the original in English with such minimal language, because he thought, well, I've got to translate this bitch. So when he,
that's so true.
So when he does that, the famous let's go in Waiting for Godot, let's go, we can't, why not, we're waiting for Godot. He's like, what he's actually doing, oh my, all these sudes turn up with their, you know, with their notepads and their glasses. Oh my God, what is he saying about the human condition? What he's saying is, mate, is that he hasn't got the translation skills. That's like, that's what it is.
It's like so pidgin French.
Yeah. Look, yeah.
Let's keep it simple. I have a house. My favourite hobbies are. I have a sister and a brother.
If he translated into Spanish, Waiting for Godot would have been una cerveza, por favor.
Arrivederci, ciao. Done Italian as well. That's so true. We've literally broken down what Samuel Beckett's all about.
That we've gone in Samuel Beckett. Okay, so University of Exeter. When did you land on Planet Stand Up, Planet Performing? When did you leave the confines of Exeter?
Exeter. I left in, I think, 2007. Mm-hmm. And that is when I did the student stand-up competition in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And then I thought, you know, I did well in that. I won it. Mm. I remember getting signed by an agent and I was like, well, this is it now.
Yeah.
They'll do all the hard work. And I remember calling them up going, I haven't had any gigs. You haven't booked me in for any. Like, and I need to earn money to live in London. And I remember my agent was just like, well, you need to get a job then. And that's what I did.
Yeah.
I got a job working in a hotel in London, just doing gig after gig. And eventually you get enough promoters that are like, all right, yeah, you can do 20. You can open. Yeah.
Okay, mate. We'll give you enough money for a porch. $2,000 for a porch.
$2,000? No. You're some way off.
More
for a porch, mate. There's bricks.
Oh,
there's,
yeah. Okay. Fine. All right. Okay.
You don't need planning permission now. I'm going to tell you this much.
That's actually quite good intel that you don't need planning for a porch. I want to know about the hotel. How long did you work in a hotel for?
I worked at the Cavendish Hotel on German Street, right in between Green Park and Piccadilly Circus.
That sounds posh.
It's, you know what? It is nice. Mm. It's right behind Fortnum & Mason's.
This is peak Agatha Christie vibes now. How many murders while you were there?
There was only a couple. And actually, I worked in the coffee lounge area. And on one particular occasion, I was asked, can you do room service? Like, go and check the minibars. And yeah, I caught a bloke doing his thing. And I was so unprofessional and a little bit wet behind the ears. I just thought, well, my job is to check the minibar. So he can stay on the bed while I check the minibar and crack on with my job. And he can just cover himself while I... because I'm a consummate professional, Tom Price.
I'll check your minis, you check your maxis. Beautiful.
Comedians, beware. This is the podcast that could scare you and all of your funny friends from buying things on Amazon. But don't delete your histories. You'll bring Tom Price down to his knees. Please just confess your shopping sins. On My Mate Bought a Toaster, we hear where your money's been.
9th of September 2009, you spent £66 on a memory foam mattress topper. I like this. This is sort of memory foam, but for poor people. You can't afford the full mattress memory foam, right? It's like a sort of insole, but for mattresses.
Do you know what? Because the joys of renting in London, we moved to a place in Vauxhall, three like best mates, all in Vauxhall, where the front door was obviously leading to the garage. I mean, this is how bad this property was, which the owner had then converted to a lounge, still smelt of petrol for the whole duration that we were there. No actual cooker or hobs or anything. Upstairs, where the lounge would have been, was my room. Mm. And I had a big old bed. Mm. And
it was so uncomfortable, Tom. And I emailed and said, look, this mattress is woeful. Yeah. And someone had said, hey, don't bother getting a whole mattress. Yeah. Just get the top.
What was it? Why was it uncomfortable? Were you feeling the springs? Because that's always one that bothers me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was Springtown Central and I hadn't asked for that. And I thought, you know, my beauty sleep is very important.
Absolutely.
So the topper, and it's probably one of the best purchases I ever made. Because it was so comfy, I got all the other lads down and I was like, you've got to try this. And I don't know why, but I insisted that every one of my three mates come and try the bed. Individually, like try it. It's so comfy, isn't it?
Were they a bit suspicious with it? Oh yeah, the old memory foam topper ruse, eh? No, please, I've got you home for this. Come on, have a go.
Yeah, they were when I put the mini bar in as well.
But they do work, and for only £66, you've got to say that's a pretty good recommendation, right there.
Can I just state for this podcast where I'm understanding I open up about myself that I am not in any way affiliated with memory foam toppers, but I cannot stress enough, if you want to just push the boat out a little bit and not go the full hog, get yourself one of these. Thank me later. Yeah. Incredible. Game changer.
Okay, good. That's fine. Hashtag spawn. One of the best things I've ever bought, says Melanie M. This is on the 20th of July, 2019. This is a long review. I thought for £50. Someone here got it for 50 quid, mate. Annoying. I already bought the Viscotherapy egg box mattress for my daughter. On opening, there was zero smell. That's an unusual way to... approach smell, isn't it? I've never thought of...
Is it the plasticky smell? I'm imagining the plasticky smell. Mm. Someone's not farted and wrapped this up.
That's... Thank God. Thank you to those people working hard in presumably China or Vietnam or somewhere where they've been paid 2p an hour. Zero smell, which is an odd way of... I'm going to use that from now on, though. Oh, guys, there is 8 smell in here. It fluffed up within around an hour. The line down the centre where it had been folded was gone after 6 hours. She fucking... You know she stood there with her... And line's gone. It stayed in place all night. The zip off cover is lovely. It is textured and soft. And whilst not exactly like the image, it's very similar. She goes on. But on to the important bit. I slept. I actually slept for more than 10 minutes at a time. I was out like a light. I know I came around a few times through the night, but nothing like the night before. I hope the comfort and quality lasts. This is life-changing, as my mood is so much better this morning after having a really good sleep. Yes, of course. Because I... thank you, Melanie M, for that review. I'm lucky, Tombo. I'm a good sleeper. Are you a good sleeper?
I am. I genuinely am a good sleeper.
Let's try and help some people who might struggle with sleep, and we will get back to the podcast soon. What are your final thoughts before you nod off? Do you have a standard go-to thing?
I'm going to tell you this. Last season, I started playing cricket, village cricket. And
you're living the dream. Whereabouts are you? Where are you in the country now?
You did actually ask. I am out. I live on the border of three counties. Oh. Get a load of this. West Sussex, Surrey, and East Hampshire. I live in a little place called Liphook. Gorgeous.
Oh, sounds beautiful.
And I play for a village cricket team, which is over 100 years old. Played about 19 games last year. I bloody love it. My... wife-to-be says I'm a cricket widow.
Yes.
Wow. And I love it. And so sometimes to get to sleep, I think about how I'm going to play this season.
Oh, my God.
I visualise being on the pitch and immediately I've got good vibes and I fall asleep.
Mate, okay, right. I promise you I'm not waking this. I'm making this up, right? I'm not making this up. I had this ready to go. I am getting increasingly obsessed with golf. I've got a separate podcast about golf. I think about golf all the time. I cannot emphasize how true this is. I'm so glad you've confessed that. Just as I nod off, I just start playing golf in my head. I think about the shape of shots. I think about, on that second, I could hit a fade and try and get it to bend left to right. But I think actually the draw's working well there. And I'm gone within 90 seconds.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's really being in your happy place. And cricket really makes me happy. So I start thinking about shots I play. I'm captain this year.
Are you kidding? You're captain of the Liphook first 11.
Liphook. Liphook play league cricket, and due to my extensive comedy career, I am not ready to give up Saturdays. They play on a Saturday. But when my career really does nosedive and no one books me anymore, I will play for Liphook. But now I'm Sunday. I can play a Sunday. I can commit to that.
You must be quite good. What do you do? Do you bat or bowl?
I'm an all-rounder. And I'm a bit more agile than the average age is about 48, 50. So, but it's just, Tom, I can't stress it enough. Once you find, like, I love it after the game, we'll have a couple of pints. I'll then, I'm 10 minutes away from my home. I've played for a teams in London where I've got to drive an hour and a half there. This is, I am living the, it's 15 minutes away. Again, it's like the pie. It's like the stand-up comedy and the pie. People people always complain about, oh, that, you know, we lived in a village and we worked in the village and then we never went abroad and then we died. And you're like, you're living the fucking dream. That's incredible. Yeah. Like, you think about the things that bring you joy and then just be happy. I've got a cricket team here. Me and my dog go for walks around here. I don't need to go anywhere. And it's, get rid of that French book and that Italian book. Not needed. Not needed. Oh, hand it in the UK.
Come on now. Julep.com/toasterpod. Yeah, no, it's crunchy on the outside, soft on the inside. Crunchy on the outside, soft on the inside. Come on now. Everybody say /toasterpod.
The one thing that I always think about when I think about you, Tom, is obviously we've gigged together a lot, but because you had this massive Radio 1 thing that happened to you. And at one stage I was like, oh, Tom Deacon's going to be, he's on Radio 1 forever now. So tell us exactly whenabouts did that happen? Is this around now, 2012 or before?
Do you know what I'm picking up? And maybe it's me. Where did it go wrong?
hang on, whoa. No. You're a man who has just described at length how right it's gone, right? You are a man browsing porches, 10 grand for the porch, 10 grand.
Not 10 grand, more.
More than 10?
Yeah, and this isn't even with a bloody toilet in. This is just literally a boot room where you can hang up some coats, but it stops the draft. And I'm, anyway, no.
You should do it. We'll come back to that. Where did it go wrong?
essentially, people would message Annie Mack and Nick Grimshaw on Radio 1 and I would voice them. And that's what I would do. So I would voice the little with different voices. And they were like, do you want to come and do a pilot? Wow. It was all part of BBC. And then from that, after a couple of pilots, I eventually did one that was just about comedy and about me loving music and talking about that. And they said, brilliant, you can do a teen show on a Sunday night. And I said, that's not what the pilot was. But so after the chart show, after Reggie Yates, they would come to me for 2 hours before the surgery, which talked about like problems, like you got knob rot and things like that. They would.
So you were that sort of weird sandwich filling between Reggie and serious problems.
Yes, between serious problems. Right. I sort of like lightened the load, sort of lightened the mood a little bit. So yeah, I did that. I did Radio 1 on a Sunday night, one show a week for 2 and a bit hours, and sometimes filled in on early breakfast. And it was great. It was really good fun. But it had nothing to do with, I wasn't doing comedy on air. The best show that I ever did was the Request Show. So I love that because on a weekend, you'd go in and people were just getting ready for their night and I would chat to them. I'd basically MC.
Then you have a purpose and you have an MC. Right, exactly. Yes.
That was my skill base of chatting to people. Mm. And I enjoyed Radio 1. Then I did a comedy show for about 3 months, winding down on a Wednesday night, which was great. We had a lot of fun. Some really big names came on. And then I remember going in. This isn't a sad story. Don't cry, Tom. Don't cry.
All right.
I went in and I was doing a football show.
Hang on. When you say don't cry, Tom, were you talking to yourself?
I was talking to me. No, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to me.
Okay. I thought you were talking to me. Okay.
Price, don't cry. Tom Deacon.
Price is fine.
Price will be
Deacon,
fine.
Give us some tears. Come on, mate.
I remember going in and I'd been looking for the early breakfast show. Really wanted that. I was kind of like, once you're in radio, they're like, do you want to do this show? This is where you want to aim for. This is where you want to get to.
So you're being funneled and you're thinking, here we go.
So look, Tom, you know, you're youngish and we feel like there's an opportunity. We've enjoyed your shows. The other presenters, DJs, they really like you. I think let's do this comedy show. And I remember the difficulty with it was they were like, we want it to be edgy. And I'm like, right, it's an hour show on a Wednesday. What do you mean edgy? And they were like, well, you know, like edgy. Can you make it edgy? And I was like, right.
What does that? But I know, mate. What are you going to be, Chris Morris? What do they want?
I this is the problem with the BBC, and there's many problems, but there's many good things as well. And I remember going, of course, hang on a minute.
Great balance, well trained.
Yeah, I know. It's on the back of that ID card that they always they have around your neck.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
a lanyard.
The values. Yes.
So I said, do you mean like, you know, at the time it was like Oscar Pistorius, the shooting edgy, and they were like, well, no. And I was like, or do you mean horse meat being in burgers that shouldn't be. And they're like somewhere in between. I was like, what is...
Wow.
It's mad. So very difficult. But I remember to go into to have a review. And at the time, my agent and my producer had always said, look, you've got to, at BBC, you've got to be telling them all the stuff that you're doing outside of BBC so that they know that you're successful and they need to keep you. So I remember the guy, Reese, was just like, right, mate, what's been going on? Well, tell me, take a seat. And I'd be like, mate, I'm doing this this football show. I'm traveling around the world watching Champions League matches. It's really big on YouTube. It's great. It's brilliant. And he went, oh, fantastic. That's great. I'm really happy for you. No, we're not going to extend the Wednesday show anymore. And I was like, okay. And I remembered it. And he said, so we enjoyed it, but we just want to try something different now. And so yeah, look, we'll be in touch.
Oh,
mate.
Wow.
And then I remember leaving the building. And here's the thing.
Oh my God, this is so Partridge. I love it. I remember. Lynn, we're going. Get some pens.
Yeah, but I didn't know. So I'm like leaving.
That's fun. They're going to be in touch. They're going to be in touch.
They're going to be in touch, aren't they?
Can I just say, I'm still waiting to hear back on a pilot of Bewitched that I made in 2008. Haven't heard yet.
I thoroughly enjoyed Radio 1, but I'll never forget that sort of, oh, they're cool. And I often check my phone. I'll check it now. No, still not called.
It's the second half of My Mate Bought a Toaster with the fabulous Tom Deacon. Don't forget, when you leave us today, don't just walk off and think, well, that's my podcast listening done for another week. There's nothing else out there as good as My Mate Bought a Toaster. I mean, sure, that's a point, but come on, False Economy with Vic Slayton and Paul Watson and Andrew O'Neill is VVG indeed. It's a fabulous podcast all about their guests' retail quirks. From their best ever bargains to their worst ever rip-offs. It's funny, it's frank, it's really well done. Do check out False Economy. Rebecca Reed's been on, Rosie Wilby, Poppy Hillstead. Poppy Hillstead did My Mate Bought a Toaster, she's brilliant. And their latest guest, which just dropped, is James Barr, brilliant radio host, very funny man indeed. And he talks to Vic Slayton and Andrew O'Neill about his spending habits, including presenting, spending money on his sex life. Yeah, don't we all, James? And he talks about how Rita Ora has really stuffed up his online targeted advertising. So that is False Economy, a friend of My Mate Bought a Toaster, available for your ears right now. Back to Tom Deacon. October 2014, the scalp revitalizer conditioner. You've bought a lot of scalp revitalizer. 1, 2, 3, you've bought 3 Nioxin System 1 cleanser as well. How is your scalp? Is that something you're happy to talk about? Is this a dandruff situation we've got on our hands here on My Mate Bought a Toaster?
Do you know what? I think I know. Mm-hmm. I think this was for my dad.
Ah, Daddy Deacon.
Daddy Deacon.
Listen, son.
Yeah.
Your mother's been complaining about flapjack shoulders. Yeah. So can you sort me out?
It looks like I've been in Tenerife for a little bit too long. listen, it's hopefully your mum. You've got my. I'm hoping you've got more of your mum's genes, but this is Flake Sound Central here. Yeah, that's for him. He's doing very well, actually. He's moved to hemp shampoo a few years back.
Oh.
So no, very, very, very few chemicals.
Is that working well for him? Because I'm hooked up on a drip of Head and Shoulders, even though I've barely got any hair left. And as soon as I leave Head and Shoulders is a bit of a allegedly addictive drug, because as soon as you get off Head and Shoulders, you start to flake, and it's only Head and Shoulders that makes the flake. So they create a problem which only they can solve. And I'm sure that's how drug dealers work, right?
I feel like Head and Shoulders is almost a little bit fentanyl-esque.
Yeah.
You've got to push through it, mate. I mean, I don't know much about hair products, but I would say this, you have to push through that and
get to the hemp.
You've got to just
get to the end.
Yeah, just say, look, I'm going through something, buy a hat, and just tell people that I'm trying to get off Head and Shoulders, and they'll support you through that time.
Do you think there's a sort of AA for Head and Shoulders addicts?
I think,
is that Head and Shoulders Anonymous? Could that work? Just sit there talking about how we're addicted to this thing. It's going to make a great version of Dope Sick, isn't it? Have you seen Dope Sick on Disney Plus? Everyone,
I haven't seen it, but I know the concept. It's fascinating. absolutely
people getting addicted to Oxy, and it'll be, you know, how many people were queuing outside Boots for Head and Shoulders. It's a drama.
Do you know what? I didn't realise. Getting married next week, in fact.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
wow.
It's close.
Oh, Tom.
And my other half said, I don't want any breakouts on the wedding. And I went, do you mean with our guests? And she went, no, your face. So if you could sort, like, I don't know, just have a bit more of a cleansing routine. So I went and had a facial.
Oh, my
God. So my mum got involved because it was my birthday not that long ago. She was like, look, we'll pay for it. Just go and have a facial.
You got a facial for your birthday?
Yeah. My mum was like, you can have a massage, you can have a facial, you could have a treat. I don't know what other treatments they do. And I was like, well, Georgie's saying, I don't want any spots for the big day. So I went and had a facial. Oh my God. They are lovely.
I hope I'm not being too sort of gender reductive here, but that is unusual for a man there and go, no, I know. I'm an old, sad dinosaur, right? Oh, come on. How many men listen to this and like, yeah, I've had a facial was? How many men sit around after
getting a
cricket?
I've given a few.
Will be their next line, which is horrific.
Well done. Very good. How many times when you finish your game of cricket, do you stand with a lad? Would you be comfortable saying to the guys you play cricket with that you've just had a facial?
Well, from one of the opposition. No, I do you know what? Oddly enough about the cricket, I'm one of the only few that will have a shower in the pavilion. Mm-hmm. Some people don't. And it's really odd because I'm like, it's a free shower. Mm. The cost of living, guys. We've already paid £10 subs. You may as well get the hot water as well.
You're there for like 45 minutes, deep cleansing everything. So what happens at a facial? Tell us.
They're basically, you lie on the bed, they sit behind, and they just put loads of creams on your face, and I'd say, wow, what's happening now we're cleansing, and I'd be like, oh, that's nice, it's quite relaxing, we'd have a chat.
So you like the sort of cleansing comment, tell me what you're doing to me, like that sort of commentary thing?
Well, I just wanted to know what was going down. And then she gets on these hot towels and then she rubs all of that off and you go, that was nice. And she went, now we're going to put a little bit of a stronger cleanser, and I'd be like, ooh. And then we do that. Then the hot towels come out again. It's very relaxing. Yeah. And then she'd be like, now we're going to exfoliate. And then she'd be like, now, Tom. And I'd be like, yes, Vicky, you really need to cleanse more. And I'd be like,
you do get told off a lot, don't you, by groomers, whether it be dogs or humans. They do like to tell you off.
They bloody love it. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. And you will do this, won't you? Yeah, all right. Because I want you more. I want you sparkling. I want you sparkling for the wedding. I want you to be more radiant than the bride. And I went, I don't think that will fly. So what I have to do now after cricket, after the gym today, I take a little bottle of cleanser and it has to be done there and then. And then I haven't had any breakouts. And I'm like, bloody hell, this looking after yourself, grooming routine. A, the products are expensive. And also it's now added more for my to-do list in a day. I don't like it, Tom. No, but I can see the benefit and I thoroughly enjoy it.
I must admit, you look good. How old are you?
Wow. Here we go. I am 37, Tom.
You look good. You do look good.
Thank you.
And now, all I'm thinking, as ever, every conversation I ever have, I'm just thinking about myself. I think I need to, because one of the mums at school said to me the other day, and she makes some lotions and stuff. That's her business. And she was like, your skin is really dry. She just said it in a really matter of fact, what are you doing with yourself? And I was like, oh, it never occurs to me. So, all right, maybe I need to start cleansing.
Tears really do take all the moisture out of my face. Thanks for noticing. Cleanse, Tom. Exfoliate once a week and then moisturize.
I just can't be arsed.
No, neither can I, Tom.
Can't be arsed with all that.
Neither can I, but like... I'm trying, all right? Guys, I'm trying. Like,
but
I take
you
it
do
to...
Look- You do look younger. You do not look anywhere near 40. You honestly don't. But no. You are. But you are, mate.
Yeah.
The maths don't lie. The numbers don't lie.
Look at my Wikipedia. It'll tell you.
There it is. But also do look at his Wikipedia as well. Lovely record. Lovely record. January 2016, men's Italian designer leather wallet gift boxed wallets. You seem to have bought a wallet, but the picture of it is like a shoulder strap. So it's like a sort of... Oh, no,
Man bag.
No, it's a corrector back and shoulder support brace. I don't know why it called itself a leather wallet. What have you bought here? This is very odd. It's invisible under clothing. Did you buy a support brace for your upper body? Is that you? What's going on?
It sounds like it, doesn't it? I may have injured myself. Mini bar escapades. I don't know. I'd often injure myself. So yeah, just you need a bit of support sometimes, don't you? Shoulder.
Worst injury thus far?
Hernia. But it strangulated, so it was a rush to hospital job. Morphine, though. Hello. Hello.
Oh, that stuff's really good.
Moorish, isn't it?
Yeah, it puts the moor in morphine, doesn't it?
It was incredible. The painkillers got chucked up. It was strangulating, and I felt...
What does that mean, strangulating? Give us so a proper...
It pops out. There's a tear. The insides pop out, and then it won't... Because you're so like, oh my God, that hurts. You're tense. You're rigid.
And is it in the tummy? Is this where it's happening?
No, right, just above the groin, just fractionally above the groin. So it's it strangulated. It wouldn't go back in. So the morphine relaxed me, sent me to sleep, so that then everything would slip back in again. And then it had to be meshed up, is what I'd like to call it.
Which then, Tom,
that gets meshed. It's just above your groin. And all the
that's where the willy is, if anyone's wondering, you know. Okay, let's just take that face on.
Don't put it face on. I'm always side on, always side on, never look directly in the eye. And then the blood flowed back down and got trapped in the old testicles in the sack. That was painful, Tom.
Surely not.
Yeah, and then...
Oh, no. Bloody hell, Tom.
Yeah, literally. And then I was like, well, when's that going to go? And they're like, it'll go. And it didn't go. And it stayed.
No.
Big ball Deacon.
Still there now? Still got big balls now? What's happened?
No. Well, what they had to do was make an incision.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Down the testicle.
This is now a trigger warning at the beginning of the episode, but carry on. Yeah. How do I describe this trigger warning? If you're easily triggered by someone's ball sack getting sliced open, don't listen to this episode. But then in doing that, I've given the trigger.
Sliced open. And what was weird about it was when I was down in Exeter, they didn't have enough beds on the men's ward. So I was put in the women's ward with a curtain around me. And I feel like when someone's about to make an incision in your testes, there's something like a sign was saying, they're going to make a mistake and you will be permanently on the women's. No, so they made an incision.
Yeah, we're putting you on the ward where we're going to leave you. We can't have anyone on this ward with testicles, I'm afraid. So
yeah, those were two of my least favorite injuries.
Wow. Yeah. Well, two of them, of course, because there's two testicles, or two because of the hernia followed by
the bag in which both testes are in were drained.
Lovely.
It's still a bag for life. It's still there. The hernia's fine. It's lasted since I was at uni, so it's doing well.
Great. Well, I'm glad that's okay. Good. We're finding out so much about you psychologically, physically. It's all there to be uncovered as we go through your purchase history. And we're now getting into 2018, Tom Deacon, and you're buying microphones and kit. You're buying Gordon Strachan, My Life in Football. Yeah, of course, you've got to get that read, mate. And Gordon Strachan, the biography. Were you interviewing Gordon Strachan?
I was. Yeah.
Did you interview him?
Yeah, I interviewed him. And so I read one account, neither of which he gave permission to. So it was really quite interesting to read both of these biographies and then be like, and Gordon, did that happen? And he'd be like, no, it didn't happen like that. This is how it happened. And I was like, that's amazing. What a legend and such a lovely bloke. But yeah, you've got to do the research if you're going to interview someone, don't you, Tom?
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Tom. So when's your show on Radio 1? Is it on this weekend or... So do you do a lot of sports stuff now? You have pivoted towards the old sport, which I think it's fair to say your Amazon purchase history proves you definitely like. This is not you faking it. There's loads of football, loads of Formula One bits and bobs as I go through all this stuff. So that must be a joy to be doing that.
Yeah. So what I do now is do the F1 esports, which is the gaming side of F1.
So it's not Formula One with batteries.
Real life. No. It's not the electric one.
Yeah. hang on. Wait. Can I just say, how similar was that noise to Michael McIntyre?
Yeah.
Michael McIntyre does sound like an electric car.
Because he just charges in the corners when he's braking. That is fantastic. That is what we have really struck gold on a few things here. Yes. So I started doing that before lockdown, but during lockdown, there was no sport going on. As we all know, I don't need to tell people. But so we had F1 drivers competing from their own houses against like F1 esports people like Roberto Carlos. We had sports people, Stuart Broad. It was bonk, and it was on Sky Sports. And we would, I was allowed to drive like ghost town across London from where I lived to get to the studio.
You're doing important work in the national interest, mate.
Thank you.
And then Matt Hancock, you stay at home, dickhead. Deacon has got to go and host Mario Kart. So.
A glorified Mario Kart. So I got into doing the F1 esports, and it hopefully will be back. Well, it will be back this year, whether I'm doing it or not. It's always in the balance. But I've been the host for the last 5 years. Great fun. Having to do a bit of research and understand it a bit more. Because that's the thing. I'm not an avid F1 fan, or I wasn't when I started, but I could make the transition for those that are new to F1 esports to be the kind of the extra point on the triangle between the viewers, the guys that are doing, that have got those skills, and myself, and I could just bridge that gap.
Yes.
And now I understand a lot more about it, and Drive to Survive and every other bit of watching
that's
the F1.
Made it massive, it. Hasn't it? Drive to Survive has turned F1 on for a load of people. But I do like the esports stuff because, you know, it's a bit woke and boring, but the carbon footprint of Formula One is disgusting. But with esports, that's a really... I don't understand. Here's my pitch. Why don't they, once a season for Formula One, insist that they all do the race with electric cars? What would happen?
With electric cars?
Yeah, just for that one race a season, that all the Formula One team, and it still counts, it still points...
Yeah, I think, well, the problem is, and my understanding, you've got a cost cap and they invest all their money into that, the car and all the cars. And then for this one race, they'll be like, we haven't done it and the fans won't want it. So if you said to Spain, hey, you know, you've cut out that corner, it's very exciting Grand Prix now. We're going to have the electric car go around. People wouldn't turn up. People want the sounds. They want that petrol heads, essentially.
Yeah.
They want that. I agree with you. They could do that. And yeah.
But so imagine how much money would be if they had to put all the A&R and the research into electric cars for Formula One, because competition is what makes things improve massively, right? And if they did that, if they stuck that on F1, it would be insane what they could do. I mean, they invented energy recapture, right? That was a Formula One invention.
Yeah. But the thing is with Formula E, no one cares. And so so it's very difficult because too many people are put off Michael McIntyre and are like, oh, I don't like his comedy. I don't want to listen to him go around a track.
Look at my mandrel. The kids can't get him out the house. Jeeves.
But it is mad watching a live show that I'm in the studio and you've got the drivers. They're all remote still. Since COVID, and the teams don't want them all in one place because they've got their setups, they've got their rigs just how they like it. And it, you know, like watching on the screen, you're watching everything happen. And some people say it's brilliant. It's great to watch. And these drivers, these young guys are so good and they can get sort of into the world of motorsport if they want to from that, because they're so good at being a sim racer.
Do they do tantrums? Because whenever I play computer games, if I'm losing, I just unplug it. Do they do that?
There are some, there are some that we've had broken pedals, brake pedals, the full works. But the fascinating thing is, so people will say it's a game, and it is a game, but these are the top guys at this game. So they are a tenth. 0.3, a thousandth of a second off each time. One guy didn't make quali, into Q3 because of 0.001 of a second. So they're so much closer in terms of all their abilities. And the first season we did it, imagine the whole studio, they've got a live audience all there, and they are kicking off in the back because of something on the game wasn't set right. And then you've got the teams, because they are employed by the F1 teams, their esports arm. So you've got Ferrari there. You'll have, you know, all the top 10 teams.
Do they rock up with helmets and like fireproof gear and stuff?
That would be too much, shame. Tom. That would be too much. But they kick off and they challenge all of the stewarding decisions, just like the F1.
Really?
Because there's $750,000 on the line.
Oh, fair. Right.
They're threatening lawyers to be involved in these decisions. And
man, I love it. Oh God, it's getting so serious. It's brilliant. Brilliant.
It is fantastic. So yeah, so I get to do that. So I have to buy a few things every now and again just to make sure that I'm up to date with everything.
Is that why you bought the advanced boxing hand wraps for combat sports on the 19th of March 2019?
I don't want to go on about it, but a PT at the gym said, do you want to get fit? And I was like, already am, mate. But yeah, let's... let's add an ER to it. He said, let's do boxing. So I had to get the wraps. And then I messed up my wrist. So... that's why I bought a wrist support later on Amazon.
Nice. Okay. All right. Good. See, again, a journey into Tom Deacon's physical decline here on My Mate Bought a Toaster. Vegan kombucha. I mean, this is really zeitgeisty stuff now. That is vegan kombucha. Wow. So kombucha is very good for your digestive system, isn't it? You're looking confused, like you don't know.
No. I do remember buying that because, as one would do, you had a lot of time on your hands during lockdown. And I read and I was like, kombucha is supposed to be really, really good for you. And I got the vegan one because that would be even better for you. And then
you
it turns
a bit
out-
smugger as well. Engage extra smug face as well, which is nice.
Yeah. I can connect with vegans. And that's what I'm about. I just like to connect with other people. If I meet one, I'm like, oh my God, I tried vegan kombucha. It made me a little bit sick.
It's when Lewis Hamilton comes to do esports, you're ready for him, man. You can have vegan chat with him.
I can have a lot of vegan chat with him. I've got a lot of questions. And then I found out the kombucha minimal effects. So I don't want to debunk it, but minimal effects. But I enjoyed it. It was nice. Something to drink. I felt good. It's placebo. And then...
It's a bit like... when, you know, we're investing in your pension. It's the same thing with bioculture stuff. You know, it's like one little bit every now and again, and over time it's going to work. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not here for overtime. Unless it's going to make a substantial difference in the next 24 hours, I'm out. That's
Is Yakult actually good for you? You know, we'll never know. We'll never know fully. If you feel good having it, good on you. I like a bit of sugar too.
yeah, exactly. The power of placebo. 2021, July 2021, you bought some walkie-talkies here, $20.99. So you've really splashed out on those walkie-talkies. I always feel sorry for walkie-talkies because mobile phones have really stolen a march on those guys. And nothing made me happier when I was a kid than sitting in my room talking to my best mate on our walkie-talkies. It was like it's a sort of Spielbergian small-town dream, right? Loved it.
I love walkie-talkies and Well, my parents were very much hanging out in the garden a lot. So they've got two sheds. One's my dad's, one's my mum's shed. And so I got them walkie-talkie so that if one was out in the garden, they could take the walkie-talkie with them. This isn't a big garden. I'm making it sound like they're a distance away. I thought it'd be quite fun for them. So sometimes they have the walkie-talkie in the house. They're just like, Cedric, are you there? Yes, I am. I'm still busy. So I bought the walkie-talkies. So if they go to the garden, then the other one doesn't have to shout because they can't hear each other. So it's great.
Shed one to shed two. Shed two receiving. How can I help? That's so much fun.
I think that's a fun gift.
Because it's impossible to hold a walkie-talkie and not feel like you are some kind of soldier or policeman. It's impossible. You can't, especially if you put it on your lapel just down so you have to drop your head a bit. Just speaking into your chest a bit.
You just need to just say what you can see.
That's what they do. That's what you do on a walkie-talkie. That's most walkie-talkie chat is just saying where you are. Yeah. Currently outside the house, over. That's what they are. You don't get people emotionally, you know, making themselves available on walkie-talkies. That's what walkie-talkies are always, it's always very business-like. You don't get enough kind of
feeling slightly lonely today. Over.
You know what I mean?
When I was let go at Radio 1, they said, we'll call you. Over.
You never said you love me as a child. Over.
Why don't you get that? Walkie-talkie confessions.
I kind of like bread, but I really love toast. And which toaster could I say I love the most? The four-slot machine to toast my bread. The answer's simply stuck in my head. Cause there never could be another kind. It's only Jewel-it that's on my mind. It's only Jewel-it that's here to stay. It's only Jewel-it that takes my bread away.
20 grand for the porch. 20 grand. That's ridiculous, by the way.
You are getting closer.
It's not more than 20 for a porch.
We were quoted. Let's finish the game now. 15 to 30 grand. It's somewhere in between, depending on what added on materials we want.
Mate, for that, I'd want wheels and wings.
Mate, I want it in gold. I want this whole street to be like, bloody hell, have you seen the porch? That is fantastic. They've got an incredible porch down there.
Like a sort of housing golden tooth that would just sit there.
I just feel like she said, look, it'll be about 15 to 30 grand depending on materials. And I'm like, do you think I'm a mug? Like, I may as well have emailed back and go, do you think I'm a mug? I am not. Like, because now we have to decide what we want to do with the house. And you're like, do we want a porch?
That's
just
ridiculous.
To stop a draft.
Why don't you murder someone on your front door and they'll put up one of those little white tents over the body and then that's a freebie. Is that? And
unfortunately, I won't be able to live here anymore, Tom, but good idea.
Okay, didn't think that through. All right, Tom Deacon, look, come on, we are nearly at the end. We have got a wax seal kit here for some sort of candles vibes. This is for GK in Chandler's Ford, where my ex-girlfriend used to live.
No.
Yeah,
this is all, now we're getting into the territory of what we like to do for a wedding that we're going to have is to slightly go back in time, and we've got these wax seal things where you sort of, you look like you're doing heroin, I've seen in films.
Yeah,
and,
sure, you'd imagine,
you do, with a tea light, and you put these tiny little bit of wax balls into the little cup thing, and then you melt it, and then you pour it out, and then you stamp it with a little love heart. And we have done 50 of them. And that reminds me, we've got 20 more to do, which I'm so excited about.
My gosh, I love this. And you've bought a credit card holder. Is this all part of it? And
I don't trust people.
Beads. Yeah, no, fair.
This is the one that apparently people can walk up to you and steal your identity. So these look like tiny little suitcases,
right?
Which you keep your cards in.
So I assume you were buying this for the wedding, just in case there's any sort of grifting uncles who are hanging around you with a little sum up reader nearby. Steve, get away from my pocket, mate.
There's a couple I don't trust, Tom, but I know where they're sat. It's fine.
But this is beautiful. Look, here you are at the end of My Mate Bought a Toaster. You know, we started with you buying your travel books that you never used. You're very comfortable, but I've got to admit, slightly sort of depressing memory foam mattress topper. And now here we are having porch chat, and you're buying wax to seal the invitations to your wedding. Tom Deacon, this feels like a beautiful place to leave you.
Thank you very much. I mean, there will be more purchases in the future, probably dog joint care bites. That's something I have ordered in the past. Yeah. And look, you know, it's exactly as you said, it's domesticity. I am there now. I am happy with my life.
Oh, it's so
occasional
good.
Order of thing. Okay, look, I even sometimes buy some fabric softener.
Fine.
It's good. And I'm happy with that.
Oh, this is beautiful. Tom, thank you for coming on the show. Where can we find you on all the socials?
Instagram's the best one. Tom Deacon Comedy. That's where I occasionally post pictures that are of nice angles of me on stage.
Really good. It's all about getting that best angle. And we've had several angles on you today, Tom Deacon, and they've all been very, very nice to listen to. Tom Deacon, thank you for coming on My Mate Bought a Toaster. You lovely man.
Absolute pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
Isn't he just glorious? The wonderful Tom Deacon. On the show next week, really excited about this, John Robbins is going to be dropping in to reveal everything that is in his Amazon purchase history and everything also in his soul and his brain like this.
I know all I ever need to know about the complete story of Jaguar.
Fair enough. But what about the complete story of John Robbins? We dive into his past.
But we're not there anymore. But it's interesting go back into that mindset through the medium of my Amazon purchases. It really is.
Yeah, it's a good format, John. It's been said before. Sure, that's his past. But what about his passions, his beliefs, like this?
Well, that's not what collecting is.
No.
It's about opening a packet and it mattering because that's your pocket money.
And of course, as always, what with him being John Robbins, he keeps it light.
Nice. This is what's going to happen is you do all this kind of work on yourself and then you just get hit by a bus, but you just make a slightly bigger dent.
That's John Robbins heading to a My Mate Bought a Toaster near you very soon. Next week, that's going to drop. It'll also be out in all its glory over on our Patreon page, patreon.com/toasterpod. It's going to drop on there in the next couple of days in audio and visual form as well. That's patreon.com/toasterpod. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to enter the competition, duelit.com/toasterpod, if you want to win yourself nearly 500 quids worth of fabulous Duelit prizes. And breathe. See you next week. Lots of love. All the best. Thanks for coming. Kind regards. Oh, don't forget to write us a review. Can you do that? Cheers. It's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh, it's My Mate Bought a Toaster. Yeah, yeah. My Mate Bought a Toaster. Oh.
just a moment.